Welcome to the C3 Calgary podcast. We are so grateful you have come to join us. We would love to invite you to one of our in-person services. To find out times, locations, and more about our church, visit our website at myc3church.ca or find us on Instagram. Enjoy the message.
Why don't you grab a seat? Thank you, worship team. That was amazing. My name's Stephen, if I haven't had the chance to meet you yet. So good to be here. I'm from the central location. We've been pastoring downtown, my wife and I, Brittany, for coming up on 7 years now. And being a part of the team, yeah, time flies when you're having fun. And all kinds of stresses and amazing things that happen. Been a part of the C3 Calgary team here for 9 years. Been a part of C3 Global for over 20 years now. I gave my life to Jesus, or he found me in a small town in Tasmania, Australia, about 22 years ago. Got invited to youth group. I went along for some PlayStation 2 on the big screen, some popcorn, and ended up meeting Jesus, changed my life forever. And in my hand, this is the first Bible I was given as an early teen after I gave my life to him. It didn't look like this when I got it. It had a front cover. This was the DC Talks, Jesus Freaks edition of the Bible. Yeah, come on. Some of you are like, what's he talking about? Don't worry, it's okay, let it pass, it's gone. It was furry, came with the Jesus Freaks Book of the Martyrs edition. Does anyone get that exact quote? Did anyone have this actual Bible? Yeah, amazing. This was given to me by my brother after I gave my life to the Lord. And I don't use this anymore. And I think, you know, it's held together by duct tape. It's got rips on its pages. I think there's mold in it probably. Hopefully not asbestos. But sometimes I pick this up and I look at this and I think back on the times that I had in the Word of God. As an early believer, through my life, I remember times where I'd put this in my school backpack and take it with me to places. I'd bring my Bible to church or youth. I'd be reading it. There'd be times where the words would just come alive to me on the page. These amazing moments. I remember one time putting it on my surfboard and paddling out into the ocean with it on the front of the surfboard. Now, that might sound crazy to some of you guys and a little bit stupid, and, well, it is. But I actually had a friend who used to do that with a bowl of cereal sometimes as well. So, come on, a Bible's not unrealistic. And paddling out into the ocean with it. I was going to demonstrate it here today, actually, when they had the cover on there. I don't think I'll quite get this to work. It would end in disaster. And I just remember having such a passion and love for the Word of God and the times where the words would come alive and I'd weep and I'd cry and I'd be laughing because some of it's so hilarious what takes place. And then there's other times I look back on my Bible here, my Jesus Freaks edition, and they were hard times. There are times where I'd read the Word and come away with more questions than answers. Has anybody experienced that? Where I'd see it in my room or on my bench there and I'd want to go and pick up the Word, but there was something in me resisting doing that. It wasn't easy. It wasn't alive. It wasn't active. Am I the only one who's had that experience in here today? See, the reality of reading the Word of God, and we're on a series called The Bible Reset, and I know that Pastor Lorne has been really just ripping it up and he's preaching at the moment and rocking the house, and he's brought such a great encouragement to be in our Word. He's preaching at the central location today. When he said, do you want to come and preach at West? I said, sure, I'd love to. Would you like to come and preach at Central? He was like, oh, how do I find parking downtown? I said, it's okay. It's okay, Pops. You'll be okay. You can find it. But he sends on his love. But today, I'm going to share four barriers or four myths about Bible reading that I found. I had a list of 10, but I thought I should shorten that because I think whether you've been following Jesus for a long time and you love his Word and you're in it, maybe you're here today and this is your first time in church, you're maybe even coming along to see one of the baptism candidates who are here and you're so welcome in this place. Most of us are somewhere in between the first time in church and being here forever. There's seasons in our life where the Word of God is easy to dive into and there's other seasons where it's hard. But I think that we build up these barriers in our mind The enemy capitalizes on that because he doesn't want us to be a people of the word. So I'm hoping to remove some of those today, no matter where you are at on your journey with God, and that we can go away with either three things. Maybe picking up the Bible for the first time for yourself and beginning that journey of reading your word. Maybe you already do that and you'll go away encouraged and charged up to continue to see the word of God as living and active in your life. Or maybe you've tried reading your Bible before, you've put it off for a season, you've found yourself too busy or it's too hard, but the Lord might, through the word today, not condemn you, because that's not from the Lord, but convict us to pick up our Bibles again and be a people of the word. And then we're going to celebrate some baptisms together and have a great time. Is that okay? It's a privilege to be here today. We believe at C3, this is on our statement of faith globally and for every C3 church, we believe this, that the Bible is the living word of God, infallible, authoritative, and everlasting, and the foundation of all Christian doctrine and faith. That's what we believe. We are a people of the word. That it's not just a good book, it's God's book. That it's not just some good suggestions, but it's the truth. And it is the way that Jesus is revealed to us. We do not worship the Bible, we worship the God of the Bible, and it points us to Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:16, you'll be familiar with this. It says that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Does anybody want to be complete in this place? I want to be complete. Does anybody want to be equipped for the good works that God has? Well, then we have it right there. It's the scriptures that helps do that for us because of who it points us to and equips us. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The word of God is powerful. There's two worldviews and ideologies, I think, that we find ourselves caught between, probably at all times in history, but I see particularly alive in the body of Christ. And I'm going to share those, and then I'm going to share the remedy of those, because we find ourselves in a tension, I think, of these at all times. So the first one is what I would call an attempted merger of a woke ideology, and I'll explain that in a moment, with our Christianity and trying to harmonize that and walk that out. And what I mean by that is a secular progressive worldview that at first glance presents itself as love, accepting, and tolerant, but when followed through to its logical conclusion, actually becomes unloving, in not tolerant at all, and rejects people away. It's okay. Because now we're going to go, this is really damaging in the body of Christ at the moment. This causes people to deconstruct their faith, and deconstruction by itself alone of our faith and of our Christianity is not bad, except this worldview only deconstructs and it does not reconstruct. And deconstruction without reconstruction is just demolition of our faith. So this is a damaging and dangerous thing that we can get pulled into. Now, on the other side, just because I felt like getting us all here today, is reading the Word of God, or a Christianity and a worldview that's trying to merge, where it reads the Word of God through a religious, legalistic, rigid approach to the Word of God. This worldview tends to sometimes be stereotyped of pointing the finger, and rightfully stereotyped, pointing the finger at others rather than looking at ourselves, not treating the world very loving, but actually coming across very hateful, thinking that the Bible is just a book of rules, that if you keep the rules but you forget the heart of the rules that are written, that's all it's about. This is a very judgmental, harsh, rigid, legalistic view of Christianity. I don't know if anybody's ever come up against that before. So we have two things. We have this very woke ideology trying to creep its way into our faith, and a very rigid, religious, legalistic ideology that tries to get in. And we find ourselves in a tension when we're reading the Word of God of being in that world, right? I don't know if you found yourself in that. And, you know, they're both very damaging. But here's the answer, and here's my point today as we jump into it. The answer to both of them, although they both would pull to scriptures and take scriptures to enforce what they're doing, the actual answer and remedy and solution to those two worldviews is the unadulterated, unfiltered, in context, sharp and active Word of God. Read as intended, applied in faith and love, and used to shape and mold us to live out the life God has for us. The answer is the Word of God. The answer for the twisting or the incomplete view of Scripture is diving into the Word of God and finding out not what people have said about the Word of God, not just what verses look like out of context, but actually being a people of the Word for ourselves. That's the encouragement this year as 2024 and this month as we're jumping into the Word of God. That's the heart behind this entire Bible reset, is that we wouldn't just come to church to hear the scriptures, although we should definitely do that, but it would inspire us and equip us to be people of the Word 24/7 for ourselves. Is that okay? So this is some of the stuff that I've found, though, that can hinder us from being in the Word. Myth number one in our Bible reading, or barrier number one, is that the Bible is irrelevant in today's modern world. Now, the truth is, the Bible is always relevant. Now, I'm not just speaking to people who maybe don't follow Christ or haven't been in the Word before. I find many Christ followers who find it hard to know how these ancient words, the culture, the context we find ourselves in, are applicable in our modern setting today. I was in a cafe downtown, and I think I was in one of those moods, you know, where I don't get in them that regularly, but you just don't want to be bothered by anybody else. Have you ever been in those? You guys wouldn't have been, you're a very social bunch. And so I went into the cafe, I'm like, I'm going to just do some prep today, and I put my hood up and my headphones in, and I'm just kind of picked the corner spot. It's an empty cafe, surely nobody's going to come up and bother me. But of course, then you see that person come through the door, and they look around the place, and it's like they're looking to see if there's any room, and you're thinking like, bro, there's this room everywhere, just not on this table here, but there's room everywhere. But of course, they're like, oh, and they walk on over to you in that spot and plot themselves down right in front of you. Of all the places you could have picked, how rude, you're invading my space. But I had my Bible out, and the person had a cross around their neck, and they sort of pointed to the Bible, and so I took my headphones out and said, hey, how's it going? Good, good to see you. And started chatting, and this person loves Jesus, said they were a Christian. We started chatting, but they pointed to the Bible and just said, but I don't know how you think that that impacts your relationship with God in any way. So this isn't some crazy idea. This is a person who had an opinion, an idea, loved Jesus, is how they presented it. And I just sort of sat back and said, I don't know how you do it without the Word of God. How do you know about Jesus without the Word of God? Well, I pray and I just seek with Him. Yeah, but there's a huge part missing in your life. They said, but it's a different culture, it's a different time. How does that apply? We went into a conversation and started to look at, okay, so look around the world here today. Is the world how it should be? We all know that it's not. Whether you're an atheist or a Christian, people know the words. Okay, and what are some of the problems facing the world around us? We went through this dialogue. It was awesome. Anyway, for time's sake, I'm going to fast track the story. But it's not just those outside of the church that thinks the Bible is irrelevant. Sometimes we find it hard to apply it. Here's the truth. The words are ancient, but the truth is timeless. The books weren't written to us, but they were written for us in the scriptures. The culture may be different, but the human condition, the flaws, sins, problems, as well as the solutions are the same, and they're found in the Word of God. Voltaire in 1715, and quote-unquote Enlightenment philosopher, made this statement. Remember, this is 1715. 100 years from my day, there will not be a Bible on earth, except one that is looked upon by an antiquarian curiosity seeker. This is what the Word of God says. That's what Voltaire said. Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Do you know how many times in history this book could have been eradicated and wiped out and taken off, but it is flourishing. 5 billion copies of the Bible around the world currently, not to mention apps and online platforms and streaming of the word. Most stolen book in history. You look at the, come on. Good, some of you guys are wild, settle down. More relevant than ever. And I believe there's a hunger stirring in the culture around us that people are curious about the Word of God. There was a poll by the Bible Reading Institute that did over 40,000 people were polled who read their Bible. And I found the statistics just fascinating because I don't know if you've looked around, and it goes back to my conversation I had with this person, but people are lonelier than ever in society. I mean, there's ministers for loneliness by countries being set up. It's an epidemic, maybe a pandemic. People seem angrier than ever before. I don't know if you find yourself sometimes getting a little more road ragey than you used to. Bitterness is everywhere. Addictions everywhere. If you don't believe that, come downtown. I'll show you around. But I got a feeling in this room today that some of us who are battling against addictions in our place, and I want to declare the truth of the word of God over you, that he who the Son set free is free indeed. And I'd love to pray for you after the service today when we get an opportunity, because I believe there's power for addictions to be broken off people's lives today. We'd love to stand with you and believe for that today. So there's all these issues we're facing, 40,000 people polled, and they found this, they concluded this, that someone who reads their Bible four or more times a week, feelings of loneliness dropped 30%, anger issues dropped 32%, bitterness in relationships dropped 40%, alcoholism drops 57%, Feelings of spiritual stagnant drops 60%. Viewing of pornography drops 61%. Sharing of faith jumps 200%. And discipling and the desire to disciple others jumps 230%. Fascinating, hey? Seems pretty relevant to me. More than that, though, it points us to God. And that's always relevant. More than that, more than behavior modification, it's life transformation. And that's what the Lord wants. So this is statistics of people whose lives are transformed by being in the Word of God. Why? Because it points us to our need for God and his heart for us. So I gotta move on here. By the way though, Voltaire, who predicted the death of the Bible in 1715, dead now. Most of his works sitting on a shelf just for antiquarian seekers. The Bible is alive and active. The house in which Voltaire lived in during his life and wrote those words later became a distribution center for Bibles. I love God. Myth number two is, are you with me here today? So the Bible, the myth is that Bible's irrelevant. The truth is it's more relevant than ever. Myth number two is, I know all there is in the Bible to know, so I don't need to be in the Word as regularly. If this word is living and active, and if we're a disciple and following Christ, the truth is we never get there. We never get to being the expert in the Word of God. There is too much in the Word of God for us to ever think we can put it down. Some of y'all have been reading the Bible more than I've been alive. And that's amazing. And you guys are champions. And that's inspiring. And you would probably testify to the fact that you never get there, because there's always something new to discover. But also we're in different seasons of life. I remember as a new believer reading the Bible, and some of the things that were coming alive to me were totally different to now as a father of two boys and pastoring a church and the season that I'm in now, because it's living and active. Billy Graham said this, in the last couple months of his life, he was interviewed, and I remember seeing a clip. We know Billy Graham, the amazing evangelist who led so many to Christ, and he made this statement. When he was asked, what would have you done differently in your life? And he said, I would have spent more time praying and more time reading God's word and less time traveling and taking bookings. I thought that was fascinating from this guy who experienced so much and impacted so many people that at the end of his life, he's looking back on it and he said, I would have prayed more and spent more time in the word of God. I love that heart. Let's always keep a heart where we don't become so familiar with the scriptures that we lose the fire, the passion, the hunger for it. Psalm 119:97, I love this. Let this be our words and become a part of us. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I'm always thinking of your laws. I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I have refused to walk on any evil path so that I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey, and your commandments give me understanding, so no wonder I hate every false way of life. I love the psalmist's hunger and passion for the word of God. Let's stir that up. Maybe you've read the Bible 100 times in your life, but 101 times is when he's gonna bring that revelation, that breakthrough moment, that understanding that clicks things into place in your life. Myth is that, well, because we know the Bible, we don't need to be in the word. The truth is, the more we know the Bible, the more we want to be in his word and need it more. Myth number three to Bible barriers and reading is that the Bible is just too mysterious and impossible to understand. So why try? We'll just let Pastor Lorne do that. The truth is, the Bible is full of mysteries and does require some work, but it is possible. The Bible is too mysterious and impossible to understand, so why try? The truth is, yes, the Bible can be hard, but guess what? You can do hard things. This is what we say in my family to my boys all the time. So I've got two boys. Second child is very second child-like. And so yesterday, example, we were going to go for a walk to the shop. And so we're like, hey, boys, we're going to go for a walk down to the shop. And so Hewan, my oldest, was like, yes, we are, and just kind of ran out the door, didn't even open it, just busted through the door there and went going. And my second child went, oh, walking so hard. Oh, and just looked up at the sky and then put on a little bit of a fake cry. Walking so hard. Hewan, can you carry me? Is what he said. And this is where we say, yeah, walking can be hard, buddy, but you can do hard things. Get going. But we say this to my kids all the time. Oh, it's just too complicated. I can't do it. No, you're right. It's complicated, but you can do complicated things. You can learn. This is pretty normal, right? This is what we say. Oh, it's too heavy. Yeah, but that's all right, buddy. Like, the more you practice, you'll get stronger and you'll be able to lift it. You can do hard things. When it comes to the word of God, though, we forget that principle, don't we? That we can do hard things. Bible reading isn't always easy, but you can do hard things. We can do hard things, church. We can get there, right? The Bible is too mysterious and hard and impossible to understand, so why try? Yes, it is, but it's so worth pushing into. It's so worth building our Bible muscles. It's so worth learning context and culture and doing hard things. Paul talks about this in 2 Peter 3, verse 15 and 16. So the Apostle Peter, Jesus' best friend, makes a couple fascinating things in this passage here. He's talking about Paul, and he says, Paul talks about these same things in all of his letters, but part of what he says is hard to understand. Oh, I'm so happy that he says that. Because this is Peter, right? He walked with Jesus, foundation and pillar in the early church. And what does he say? He says that some of the things that Paul says, which we read about, are actually hard to understand. So why do we think that it wouldn't be hard for us to understand? He says some of those things are hard to understand, and some ignorant and unsteady people even destroy themselves by twisting what he said. They do the same with the other scriptures too. So what Peter's saying here, he's acknowledging that Paul, in his day and in his time, his writings are hard to understand, he's encouraging the church to keep writing them, but he's also acknowledging them that they're scripture, that they're God-breathed. He says, like the other scriptures. Pretty fascinating. He says it's hard, but it's not impossible. We're not victims around here today, okay? C3 Church, we're victors in Christ. If you're struggling with your Bible reading, if you're finding it hard, if you're not able to get there, use that as inspiration to push in and do hard things. Go to the gym, we exercise, we get stronger. Go learn a new skill, we practice, we refine it, get better at it. Saving for a house or a goal that we have in mind, we make sacrifices elsewhere to do that. With the Word of God, when it's hard, we push through, we keep going. And zooming out a little bit from this, I think there's a little bit of kickback in the world today against hard work. And it's gotten into the church as well. I'm a Sabbath guy. I believe in Sabbath. I believe 6 days hard work, 1 day rest. Not 5 days Sabbath, 2 days work. Amen. Anyway, let's just... Sabbath's important. But so much in the Word of God is that we're meant to be people who work hard. Not for our salvation, Jesus did that, but pretty much for everything else. Colossians 3 verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Proverbs 12 verse 11, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuit lacks sense. Proverbs 13, 4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Who's my voice up here today? Proverbs 14, verse 23, in all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. 2 Timothy 2, verse 6, it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Do I need to keep going on? Or do we realize here that the Bible actually encourages us to work hard? Is it the Bible's hard to understand, or that we're unwilling to put the effort in to learn? I know we can do it. Pastor, I'm not a good reader. We'll get the audio version of the Bible. Like most of history, we've got to remember people couldn't read. They would gather in a place together and someone would read the scriptures. We're in a circumstance now where majority of people can read, and to quote an amazing proverb from the richness of Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility if we're readers. But find something that works for you is what I'm saying. Don't get too legalistic about it. Find a way to overcome it. Join a group. I don't think the Word of God can be rightly worked out outside of the context of community. And a great way to do that is to join one of the groups here at church and talk about scriptures, talk about our wrestles with people, find people in your life. You know what I mean by that, right? Like, so I don't know if you've ever met the kind of person that knows a lot of the Bible, but they're very far removed from community and culture and people around them. And it can get a little bit funky, can't it? If we allow ourselves to try and work out just by our own measure, our own means. But when we're in the context of believers and people who are praying for us and discussing the Word and getting in there, it sharpens us and it helps us work out the application of this timeless truths of the Word of God. So find yourself people you can study the Bible together. Find a group where you can encourage each other and wrestle out the scriptures. Myth number four is that I need to get something out of my time in God's Word every day, or it isn't working. I'm a card-carrying, Spirit-filled believer. I believe in the experience of God. I've got my membership patch here in my back pocket. I'm a charismatic. I believe in the experience of God. I believe that we should come and taste and see that the Lord is good. There's sensation, and when we're with God, and there's power, and there's presence. But I think sometimes we get too in love with the idea that we need to feel and experience every time something in order for it to be working. When I was a younger Christian and more immature in my faith, I would hear well-meaning preachers and pastors get up and talk, and it's like that they were just having an ongoing conversation with God every time that they came to him in prayer. Did anyone else ever think this? So every time they're in the Word of God, they seem to have a moment, like in the Blues Brothers movie where Elroy, if you've seen that movie, like the parts and the beam of light comes down and he gets the shakes on, he gets going, and all of a sudden he says, "The band, Elwood, the band, we get the band." You haven't seen that? Well, don't worry about it, just ignore it. We get addicted to the feeling and the sensation rather than trusting in faith that when we read the Word of God, something's taking place. We can hear other people, I don't know, I can hear other people talk about the way they pray and have conversation with God. And because they're giving me their highlight reels, as we would, it can sound like, well, I don't have that relationship with the Word of God. I don't hear those kind of things. I don't see those kind of things. I don't experience that, so it mustn't be working. The truth is, anyone who's on social media knows that you only post the highlight of your day. The world's only showing a snippet of their day. The other 23 hours and 59 minutes were quite boring, quite a slug, quite a hard thing. And often we can hear other people talking about their excitement and experience in the Word of God and think that they haven't had to wrestle through the Scriptures, think that they haven't had times of dryness, think that they haven't had times where they've had to sit down. So I think the myth is that we need to have some supernatural, amazing, out there experience with God every time. But the truth is, in faith, when we read the Word of God regularly, whether we feel it or not, something shifts in us. And Pastor Lorne recently said in a different context, he said, consistency is better than intensity. And I believe that applies to the Word of God so much. We want to have these intense, amazing moments, and God, I'm thankful for those moments where you're reading the Word of God and the power of God just comes down and you feel His warmth, and all of a sudden you find yourself tears on the page, and you have these moments where a light bulb goes off and everything changes, and you get closer to God, and everything, that it's just this amazing thing. And I love those moments, and I'm a student of the Word and I study the Bible every day, and I went to Bible college and I believe in those moments. But guess what? Most of my Bible time doesn't look like that. It looks like faithfully reading the Word of God, sometimes going away with more questions than answers, sometimes praying this prayer, Lord, I don't know what that was about today, but in faith, I know it's changing something. So would you speak to me today? So would you reveal something today? And then I find later in the day, that thing that made no sense to me in the morning, that scripture that didn't really have any context, that maybe He brings that back to my mind. And I pray through it and I wrestle through it, and I see that although in the moment I didn't get that big experience that maybe I would have loved to have had, the Lord's slowly chipping away at my hard heart. He's slowly removing the scale from my eyes, and I begin to see the Word of God as living and active, as God breathed. Does that make sense? I want us to get over the idea, church, that we need to have this charismatic, amazing experience every time we're in the Word, and just trust in faith that if we dive in with faith, wanting to hear from God, whether we feel it or not, He's done something. He speaks to us. So, I hope that encourages us today. We build up these ideas in our head that the Bible reading is so hard, and it's not. The Lord just wants us to jump in and seek Him wherever we're at. And if you've thought that it's irrelevant, you don't see the relevance, I hope you'd give it another try and see that this book is more relevant than anything else going out there. You might think that you're very familiar with the Scriptures and you don't need it. I'd encourage you to pick it up and try to see it through the eyes of a child. God says we need to have faith like a child, and look at it and go back to those moments like I did with my first Bible here, and revisit those moments and say, Lord, this is alive and active, and speak to me in a fresh way, and pick it up again. Maybe you find it hard to get into the Word of God, and I want to pray specifically for you today as we close before we go to baptisms. But I want to encourage you that you can do hard things. You may have been told that you're not smart. You may have been told that you're not a reader. You may have been told that, well, that's for someone else. And then, no, I want to tell you today, you can do it. God doesn't give us something that we can't do. He doesn't tell us to be in His Word, but then create us with not being able to do it. Sometimes there's challenges in our life because we can act in faith and build and stretch and build our faith and build our muscles. I love Isaiah 54 at the moment. It talks about stretching our tent curtains wide and strengthening our stakes. And sometimes that's just what we're trying to do. God's doing in us that, yeah, we don't have it now. So stretch a little bit and you'll be able to get it. You can do it. It's worked out best in community, in church, in faith. But don't believe the lie of the enemy that you're not, it's not for you. And then lastly, if you've been feeling dry and feeling like you can't pick it up because you're not getting anything out of it, I want to encourage you that whether you feel like it or not, the Word of God works and it's active and it's alive in you. So let's stand in this place. Thank you for allowing me to speak today and encouraging you. We're going to see some baptisms and Pastor Tim and the guys are going to get ready for that. But I just want to pray for anybody today, and I think this is the conclusion of our Bible reading series here today, that you're feeling a hunger stirring up in you for the Word of God, and you're wanting that hunger to continue and to go from just an idea into action. Maybe you've been flourishing in your Bible reading at the moment, but you just want to continue to dive deeper. Maybe you've dismissed the Word of God, you want to pick it up again. Or maybe you feel that resistance that you just can't do it, or it's something stopping you from doing it. I would love it if you could just put your hands out in front of you if you want to be included in a prayer today. Because I believe 2024 in C3 across our locations and in your life and mine, God is stirring up a hunger for the Word of God. And He's going to reveal through His Word answers that we might have been asking for years. So if you want to be included in that prayer, just in faith, just put your hands out in front of you now. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, we don't want the world, we want Your Word. We don't want worldviews, we want wordview. Lord, we don't want to interpret the scriptures through what the world says. We want to interpret the world through what Your Word says. So Lord, I pray for anybody who's struggling, anybody who's finding it hard, anybody who's believed lies about Bible reading, anybody who's put worldly, fleshly pressure on themselves or other people have, rather than a willing heart to dive into Your Word and hear from You. Lord, we just pray for freedom right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray You would give us the strength and capacity to pick up Your scriptures, to dive into Your Word, and to believe in faith that they are living and active and sharp, and they're piercing through the noise of the world, and it's piercing through the hardness of our heart, and it's changing things whether we feel it or not. Lord, I pray, I just see a picture right now of people actually who have started the year reading your Bible and you've put it down after a few days because it didn't work out, but the Holy Spirit wants you to pick the Word of God back up and in faith trust that He will speak to you, to stick to the plan, to keep going, and He is going to reveal wonderful mysteries to you. So Lord, we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You ultimately, Lord, Your Word is about pointing us to You. It's about showing us our need for a Savior, who that Savior is, and how we can follow Him. So I thank You, God, where we're reading the Word through rules or regulation or religion, or we're reading it through political ideas, we're reading it with skewed a view in it, that You would remove those lenses and we will be able to see it for what it is, the love story of You pursuing Your children and making a way when there was no other way for us to have relationship with You. We love Your Word. Thank You for making us a people of Your Word and continuing to reveal to us through Your scriptures. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for allowing me to speak today. So good. I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Tim. If you want prayer for anything after service, I'll be available.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, subscribe to our podcast and find us on YouTube. If this message resonated with you and you would like to give to our church, go to myc3church.ca. See you next week.